So glad to have you here for Idaho Matters on Boise State Public Radio News. I'm Tom Michael. It's a scientific fact. The global climate is warming at an increased rate over recent generations. We've been hearing about declining polar ice caps and warming seas, but what about places closer to home? Yellowstone National Park, which Idaho shares a piece of with Wyoming and Montana, is the largest nearly intact temperate zone ecosystem in the world. The Greater Yellowstone ecosystem is measured at a whopping 22 million acres. So let's set the scene for Yellowstone as recently as last week. I was there over the busy Memorial Day weekend, and many came to see the bisons or these. That's the sound of those bubbling geysers. And as hot as those are, and those boiling waters exit into the air at an average of 204 degrees Fahrenheit, the air temperature in the park itself has also been superheated. According to our next guest, the park recently posted its highest temperatures since 766 AD. That's 1,200 years, by a difference of 6 degrees. But the way she went about gathering that startling data was unusual, and we'll hear about that now. We're joined on Idaho Matters by Karen Heater of the University of Idaho in Moscow. Welcome.
Hello.
Karen, you're a PhD candidate and a dendrochronologist. What is a dendrochronologist?
So I use tree rings, so dendro, tree, chrono, time, to look at change, environmental change over time.
And what type of trees at Yellowstone were your focus?
I was coring Engelmann spruce primarily.
Okay, you mentioned, Engelmann spruce, I imagine some of our listeners can picture that. And you mentioned coring. In fact, you helpfully sent us a photo of the instrument you used. Well, what is that and what's the process?
Right, so if you think about just like a regular Ticonderoga-sized pencil, right? So what we're doing is using a hand drill that we call an increment bore to extract essentially a pencil-sized core out of the tree. And so that allows us to get a radial section of each annual ring of growth. And then from there, we're able to process those tree cores to get our annual tree ring data.
Was there a certain part of the, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, it's pretty straightforward. It's like a large drill.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I can picture that now. A lot of our listeners are familiar with Yellowstone National Park. Is there a certain part of the park that you went to, and maybe you could describe generally what quadrant it's in?
Right. So we were fortunate enough to go up to Mount Washburn. There's a fire lookout tower at the top of that mountain. So we hit natural tree line at Mount Washburn, which is really cool. So there's Engelmann spruce, which for those of you that are unfamiliar, spruce, think of like the Christmas tree, but the pointy one. Mm-hmm. This high elevation, it's about 10,000 feet. They're pretty stunted. So there are these gnarly old looking spruce trees, as well as white bark pine is up there. So that was within the park, but then we also were fortunate enough to be able to sample trees just outside the park on the Shoshone National Forest, a place called Fantan Lake, which is where the really, really old remnant samples came from.
Okay, Shoshone National Forest, obviously the Gallatin's to the north, Shoshone is to the east?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. East. Okay, got that right. All right, so you have this data, you've cored these trees. When in geologic time and historical time did you first see this recent pronounced warming trend?
So the warming trend that we see really is pretty prolific starting in the 1920s. So we see the imprint of what we're expecting to be the dust bowl, right? So this time in the late 1920s through the early 1930s, where across the region, the broader Western U.S., there's elevated surface air temperatures, particularly in the summertime. So that was pretty notable with this reconstruction. But then we also see post-1980, the warming really becoming increased.
Now, I'm afraid I didn't ask you, how do you know that from looking at this, from using an increment borer, from looking at the core?
Right. Yeah, I guess we did kind of skip a large step. So what we're able to do essentially, using both living and dead trees, we're able to make a chronology through time. So that's essentially a measure of what the tree is doing, whether it be radial growth, so how much growth it's putting on each year, or what I actually looked at, which is more a representation of tree ring density each year. So what I was able to do was piece together a time series of this blue intensity data, which is the tree essentially being able to record surface air temperatures via proxy of how dense these rings are essentially. And so then once you're able to put this time series together, we look at the instrumental data, so the actual weather station data from the local area. And then we're able to determine whether or not there's a strong relationship between the tree ring time series and the instrumental data. So if there is, which was the case for this project, we're able to quantify that relationship, and we just use a linear regression to essentially use that longer tree ring record to provide these estimates based on that relationship between the instrumental and the tree ring data through time. So, you know, it's not perfect, right? The relationship between the instrumental data and the tree ring data is not 100%. We explained 60% of the variance. So again, that's why I say it's an estimate through time.
If you're just joining us, this is Karen Heater from the University of Idaho. We're talking about the historical climate at Yellowstone National Park. How cool to actually use a tree to figure some of this stuff out. You know, when I was at Yellowstone last week, I heard about the 1988 wildland fire, which was also an unusually warm year, as you said, post-1980s. It burned a third of the park. Would you be able to detect earlier years like that, like going way back?
Right. So if we look way back in our reconstruction, we do see some notable warm years, in particular 1056. So that's right in what climatologists will call, or paleoclimate people will call, the medieval climate anomaly. So we do see there are certain years where we're seeing these really intense warmings as well through time.
Now, where do we go from here? I mean, we'll have a link to your scientific paper on our website, but did your report conclude with any recommendations?
So I think one thing that I really like to tell other scientists, especially whether they're tree ring people or not, that what I've done is just a small piece of the puzzle, right? Of trying to place this multi-century or multi-millennial contextualization to the modern warming trend. And so I really encourage other scientists, other places to continue to do work to push these paleo records back in time to kind of get a more complete understanding of where we're going. Have we seen these conditions in the past? And then maybe use the past to inform management decisions moving forward.
Now, over the Memorial Day weekend, the park reported a 50% increase in the number of vehicles for that four-day period that I, you know, stood and waited in line. Does increase in tourism affect the climate?
I think that's a little hard for me to say.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure.
Sure. And then finally, what's the path of your work at the University of Idaho in terms of your doctoral studies?
So I'm in my last year, and I will be set to defend in February of 2022. And after that, applying for jobs, postdocs, and hoping to carry on this and other research in my next steps.
Well, good luck defending your work at the doctoral level. And thank you so much for your paper. We've been speaking with Karen Heater of the University of Idaho. And I'd like to thank all our listeners for joining us, and especially our team here at Boise State Public Radio News on Idaho Matters. It includes Frankie Barnhill, Samantha Wright, Paul Stribling, Kelsey Black, and of course, Gemma Gaudette, and I'm pleased to be sitting in her chair today. I'm Tom Michael. You can hear today's program and other interviews at our website. And our website is boisestatepublicradio.org. Also, I encourage you to download the app. You can find that where you get your apps. It's the new Boise State Public Radio app, and you can listen to podcasts on demand like this show, Idaho Matters. Thanks for being a listener and joining us here for Boise State Public Radio News.